down towards the near corner. Cody Eakin goes in shorthanded, feeds in front, score! It's Carlson! William Carlson shorthanded. Miller right point shot, score! Tipped out in front, and it's 4-0 Vegas! Here comes Lindbergh, going to get ahead of the defense. He pulls it away, goes circle, he shoots, he scores! Oscar Lindbergh! Now a breakaway, here's David Perron, all by himself, gliding down the middle, fakes, backhand score! David Perron, 1-0 Vegas! Here's Hunt, setting up his man in front, Carrier, score! It's his first goal, William Carrier, 7-0 Vegas!
And welcome in to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a game day. Your Golden Knights headed to St. Louis to play the Blues. Blues coming in at 25-15-2, 52 points on the ledger. Your Vegas Golden Knights 27-9-2, 56 points high atop the Pacific Division. Clayton Hamilton here along with Frank Harnish and Ryan, the hockey guy Wallace, enjoying the start of a road trip.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice two games, a quick two games, St. Louis, Chicago, today and tomorrow. And, you know, Chicago coming off a big win last night against the New York Rangers. Jonathan Toews is scoring again. So are the Chicago Blackhawks back? Maybe. But the danger with that team is always on the back end. And when you've only got two capable defensemen that are able to skate the puck out of your own zone, it's going to be pretty hard to beat the Golden Knights. So that's my assessment of Chicago, and we'll talk plenty about St. Louis today.
Yeah, and as far as those two games go, both teams will be playing what look like backup goalies if you look at the rosters of the teams with St. Louis and Chicago. But we all know here in Las Vegas how important a backup goalie can be. And actually, you can make an argument right now with the game with St. Louis tonight that their backup is better than Allen, their starter. So, you know, just because we're looking at goalies that are not the marquee names at the start of the season for these teams, do not let anybody lead
Brendan
that
Leipzig
into
of Vegas Golden Knights
security or anything like that.
Yeah, Brendan Leipzig chiming in real quick to let you know that he's going to play tonight. And he's going to be trying to score on Carter Hutton, and that is the news. We're talking about Carter Hutton out of the backup goaltender spot for St. Louis are going to get the start tonight, but he's been playing really well as of late, arguably better than Jake Allen.
Yeah, I think he's got a sub 2 goals against average. So
1.70, yep.
Yeah, so that's really, really good. And, you know, Jake Allen, I know that people want to claim that he is an elite goalie in this league. I still don't buy it. I still don't believe it. So I don't think that starting Carter Hutton is necessarily the worst thing in the world for the St. Louis Blues, because if they do get to the playoffs, at some point in time, Carter Hutton's going to have to be a part of that.
Carter Hutton, certainly we'll see, and as you said, how important a backup goaltender can be. Remember last time these two teams met, it was a combination of Malcolm Subban and Oscar Dansk that got the job done for the Golden Knights, and they saw Chicago right thereafter, so they're back-to-back again.
Yeah, and when you're talking about Carter Hutton, too, you mentioned that it's not necessarily a bad thing for St. Louis. They've won the last two games in a row. Guess who started both of them? Carter Hutton. There's a reason he's getting his third start in a row tonight. He's 7-3 on the season. He's been playing well of late, and he makes St. Louis, I think, in some ways a more dangerous team right now than Jake Allen does.
Yeah, so we've got a big show for you today. Oh, we're trying to connect to her. We're hopeful to have Jerry York, the head coach of Boston College, a former head coach of Alex Tuck, of George McPhee's son, Graham McPhee, the winningest coach in NCAA history. So we're hopeful we will have him today. We're also going to hear from David Perron. We've got some Ranger tickets to give away on Sunday. So a full slate, plus not to mention back-to-back games, St. Louis and Chicago.
Yeah, it's like we keep talking about, there's always going to be that next test, and this is just another point of that. The Golden Knights, when they played St. Louis the first time, the storyline coming out of that game was St. Louis was the better team. Vegas was fortunate to get the win. I want to see how far Vegas has come against St. Louis, because if the Golden Knights go into St. Louis and they carry play and they play their game for a full 60 minutes, I would venture to guess that they will be the better team. Yeah. They will come out with the 2 points, because I think Vegas has gotten exponentially better since the first time these two teams played.
And it's kind of interesting that you use that analogy there, too, because it sounds like the exact same thing we heard with the Dallas Stars when they won the first time. Oh, well, Vegas won the game, but they certainly weren't the better team. Now, granted, Dallas did play better in the second game against them, but then Vegas, certainly they dominated play, and they did exactly what they wanted to in that third game. So this Vegas team, yeah, everybody knows them a little bit more now. They're not sneaking up on anybody, but they also know them because they're a darn good team. The latest rumor I heard out from people was like, well, maybe they don't have enough film on Vegas, so that's why they can't make the adjustments in that. They played 37 games. There's a lot of film out there. If they don't have enough film on them now, then that's on the other teams and their coaching staffs. I mean, people are always trying to just make excuses to not give this team the credit that they deserve.
Well, somebody that deserves all the credit in the world is head coach Jerry York from Boston College. His team is going to be in town to play in the Ice Vegas. Came into this season as the all-time winningest coach at the collegiate level, including multiple national championships.
The final 5 seconds on the clock, ticking away. Boston College, the Division I national champions, 4-1 over Notre Dame.
And we're pleased to welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show head coach Jerry York of Boston College. Jerry, thank you for taking the opportunity and the time to come and talk with us. It's a true pleasure for us.
Oh, I love talking hockey, and it's my first time to Vegas. And, you know, it's been terrific. We've had a chance to, you know, go to the practice facility and have a really good practice yesterday after a long trip, and go over this morning to T-Mobile, so everything's been first class so far.
Yeah, the practice facility and T-Mobile both getting pretty high marks from the folks in the NHL as they come to town. Have you seen a practice facility like they've got up there in Summerlin?
Oh, I think that's got to be right in the top two or three in the whole NHL. You know, I know Toronto has an outstanding one, and but this is, you know, you can't. You know, I think when George sat down and, you know, started from the scratch, and we're going to build a practice facility, and in conjunction with Bill Foley, they left no stone unturned. It's an incredible place for the players to. It's going to help them in the free agency market. You know, when people come in trying to pick teams once they're free agents, I think it's a big plus.
Now, you mentioned George, and obviously George is should be, if he's not already, a complete rock star here in Vegas for what he's been able to do in assembling this Golden Knights team. But why don't you talk to us a little bit about George, the man that you met so many years ago when you were his coach?
You know, I had the privilege, really, to coach George for 3 years at Bowling Green University, his sophomore, junior, and senior year. And, you know, we were really good clubs at that time. And he was an outstanding collegiate player. But most importantly, when I think back as a teammate, he was outstanding as a teammate. Terrific role model for any young player in our program because he was fully invested in both sides, the academic side and the hockey side, and, you know, graduated, I think, magna cum laude from the university, and Homer Baker trophy along the side, and went on to, you know, a career in the National Hockey League. But a competitive spirit, probably, being a terrific teammate, that's what probably jumped at me way back then.
When you knew him way back then, they say that some people, you can tell when they're a GM or they just have a different feel for the game and that kind of stuff, almost from birth or whatever. Was George one of those kind of guys? Could you see back then that this was a guy that really knew the game and had an eye for talent in that? Or was that something that he developed as the years went on?
You know, I thought, you know, after his career, NHL career ended, that he was certainly going to move into the law profession. He had a law degree from Rutgers and, you know, trial lawyer, whatever. I thought he'd go in that direction, and then he got a chance to, you know, work in, under the tutelage of Pat Quinn in Vancouver, and I think that changed his thought process. Hey, I like this, and I can be good at it, and kind of sent him in that direction to the general manager of the National Hockey League.
And kind of staying in line with that, you coached Rob Blake, who is now a GM in Los Angeles. You coach Dan Bylsma, who was a Stanley Cup winning coach for the Pittsburgh Penguins in 2009. What character trait separates maybe those guys that you think that they're once hockey is over, they've got a successful career running franchises?
You know, I think they all have the characteristic that they're going to be successful whatever endeavor they choose. That group you mentioned, they're bright, articulate, really conscious of, you know, what makes teams go, you know, in the right direction. What fosters good relationships? They've all stayed very current in the field. So, you know, the traits that make them outstanding, what they're doing now, you know, are traits that make them outstanding as a CEO of a large company, or you know, a director of, you know, a law firm. They all have those qualities. So it's not unique. I mean, your success as a general manager, or like Danny Bowser was a coach, those traits are, you know, you have to have them to be successful in life, and they all are, like I explained about George, competitive spirit, the ability to really communicate. I mean, not just, talk with people, but communicate with people and pick up different things in their life. Every day they seem to get better, and I think that's a great tool to have.
One of the things that we've noticed about George McPhee, and one of the major talking points about him, is a lot of people say you can see the footprint of Herb Brooks on him, who was one of his first coaches, because he likes to put together a roster, maybe not of the best guys, but of the right guys. Is that something, as a coach and a recruiter, that you try to do, maybe try to build the chemistry from within and then work the talent around that?
Well, I think George does have that quality, but he's also coached some unbelievable talent. You know, been a general manager of some unbelievable talented players too. So that's the mix. When you get people like Ovechkin, Valley Burray way back when he was in Vancouver, to really play at the highest level, but still be part of a team, still work hard, you can't just win with all terrific players. They got to be a They have to be a team first, we'd love to, all of us that are in the business, have terrific players that fit into a team situation, because the other opponents, the other coaches, they're lining up some pretty good teams against you. But what a great, you know, experience this year for me from afar, watching the success of Vegas, from the hiring of Gallant as a coach to his drafts that an expansion draft and assembling a team, and it's been, you know, incredible. People are just—I can't believe what's happening here with Vegas, the Golden Knights.
When you look out on the ice today and you see a youngster like Graham McPhee, do you see a young George McPhee on the ice out there, or is it a completely different type of player and a different type of person, or is there a lot of similarities?
You know, they're different yet alike. You know, Graham's certainly going to be a large, strong young guy. He's taller than George, more rangy than George is, at the, similar ages. And I project as he grows into his body, he's going to be a big, strong, physical player. But they both have that, like I talked before, that competitive spirit. They want to get better. Every day they come to the rink thinking, this is the day I'm going to, no throwaway practice. I'm going to get better today. But, you know, they're two different people also. And George had a knack to score goals, which was incredible. And Graham's developing that.
Head coach of Boston College, Jerry York, joining the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, the winningest coach in NCAA history.
No, I wanted to go back to the last question where you talked about Gerard Gallant. And the Golden Knights seem to be an extension of Gerard Gallant's character, an extension of how he played the game at the NHL level. And when you get that, you get incredible buy-in. Is that super important for the coach to have that synergy with his players?
Well, I think it is. I think you have to connect, and Gerard's figured that out. We had a recent graduate of BC, Jimmy Hayes, that played with the Florida Panthers, and all he did was rave about the coach Gallant. He thought he was outstanding, and so I knew way back then that this is a terrific candidate for George's opening. And I think George understood the same thing. He zeroed in on him, and that was his number one choice. And he got him to come out here to Arizona. But he's really deserving of this All-Star honor. He's going to get the chance to coach here coming pretty soon.
One of the guys that we've gotten to know real well, it was with you recently, was Alex Tuch. And we love everything about him, not just his play on the ice, but the person that he is. When you were recruiting him and had first seen him play, did you have any idea that he was going to be the type of player that would turn into a first-round pick and is going to be one of the young stars in this league?
You know, you're always hoping. We first saw him in the Syracuse area when he was playing junior hockey. I then followed him into the NDTP program in Ann Arbor. And, you know, for a young kid that size that could skate that well and handle the puck, it was just a period of maturity where he could become a complete player. And but, you know, it's hard to project that. But we always thought that he had the chance to be a really good NHL player. And but he's a really, you know him. And I followed the tweets all summer when he took that bus trip through Montana or Arizona.
Are you still with us, Jerry? I think we're going to try and reconnect.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
I'm here.
Go ahead. We just lost you for a second.
Okay.
You were talking about Alex Tuch and his on the bus trip. Yep.
Yeah, the bus trip. I just followed that. It was kind of neat to see that. You know, but he connected with all those the potential fan base, and you know he was very invested in it. And you know, he had a start in the American Hockey League, and George watched him, and you know, after kind of maturing there and developing, he was able to bring him up, and he's been a nice addition to the Vegas Golden Knights.
You've been a head coach for a long time. You've been involved in the game of hockey for an incredibly long time. One thing that we hear in this day and age in every sport out there is how the players have changed today and they're more spoiled and they're not the same and you can't coach them in that. But it seems like in hockey that a lot of the guys, in fact, most of the guys that we've talked to in that, they are still down to earth and they're good people and they remember their roots and everything else. Have you seen a big change in the type of player from the game way back when you started out as to today? Or is hockey one of the sports that maybe that's not as much of a case like it is in some of the others?
You know, I think that sometimes that's just a cop-out, you know. People say, hey, they're different, they're all, you know, it's not the same. And but I think, you know, when you coach a team, you know, you've got to buy into the, hey, it's going to be a team, you're going to be part of something bigger than yourself. And when you can check egos at the door and become one, you know, identity, that's from 40 years ago or, you know, 30 years ago or yesterday. It's always been a challenge to take, you know, really good players and now have them identify with the team rather than themselves. And but that hasn't changed any sports since I've watched it. I mean, they might listen to different music, and but they all want discipline. They all want, you know, a structured environment. They all want to, you know, do everything possible to be successful, and that hasn't changed.
You know, speaking of structure and discipline, this is going to be obviously your first trip here to play with your hockey club in Vegas. Is there anything that maybe worries you about coming to this city and playing a game? Because we've seen many NHL teams talk about the Vegas flu as if it's a thing that's real and it affects their team. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, again, I think that's trying to bring up excuses to why we lost the Golden Knights, and I've seen that a number of times now in print. But, you know, when Coach Gallant brings his team on the road, they've won a lot of games too. So they got a real good club. But it's distractions in life wherever you play, you know. And if you're not involved in, hey, I want to be successful and I'm part of a, you know, a winning culture, you can find, you know, things to distract you from the task at hand in any city. And so I don't think that's kind of taken away from the success that the Golden Knights have had this year, I think.
Head coach of Boston College, Jerry York, with us, his team in town to play in the Ice Vegas tournament this Friday and Saturday. And we appreciate you taking the time to spend with us. Before we let you go, I'd like to, if you could, comment on Brian Boyle. He was a guy that was a part of your program. We've seen the fight that he's been through and him come back and have success. Maybe you could just talk a little bit about the kind of person and player that Brian Boyle is.
Yeah, Yeah, you know, he was one of 13 children. Can you believe that? 13 children are growing up, and his mom and dad were, you know, did everything for the children. And, you know, a number of years ago, the dad came down with a rare form of cancer, and, you know, everybody was counting the number of days his immediate family that, you know, could survive next week will be grateful. And they beat the cancer, and I think that's given Brian all the hope and the direction to go that way, and it's been phenomenal to watch him handle this situation. And you know, life presents, you know, certainly obstacles, but this was a big one right there, right in front of him. And I think he's done a marvelous job handling it and back playing and playing very well. So we're really proud of Brian.
Well, Jerry, we certainly wish you all the success with your stint here over at T-Mobile Arena. And I want to throw this in, too. If you're going over to those games and you don't really have a dog in the fight, you just want to watch some good collegiate hockey, but if you want a reason to cheer for somebody, I'd like to throw in, too, that your first head coaching stint at Clarkson for 7 years, it was the Clarkson Golden Knights. So you should immediately have something special here in Las Vegas for fans to get behind.
Yeah, that's right. That's good. I'll take that. Any fans that root for us, I'd really appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Jerry, and good luck this weekend and the rest of the season. And we know we're going to see you guys come Frozen Four time. Always a good time to watch Boston College 10-3, first place in Hockey East. Thank you, Jerry, for joining us. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm trying to get Johnny Gaudreau to come down. He has an off night tomorrow night, so we might get him to draw a lineup.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you much.
Thanks
good luck
lot.
This weekend.
Yeah.
It was head coach Jerry York. What a delight for a guy that has done it as long as he has to see all the things that he has and the success, the national championships, all those trips to the Frozen Four.
Yeah, his first head coaching stint with Clarkson, the 72-73 season. So he goes back away. I mean, this guy knows some hockey and has been around some great, great hockey players.
Yeah, I mean, you grow up around hockey, you become somebody in this business, and you just don't ever want to give it up. You never do. And, you know, you're talking about 42 seasons, 45 seasons mm-hmm. as a head coach. It's insane. It's a lot. That's longer than most people have careers at a job that, you know, they don't necessarily like or love that much. And he's coming in and mentoring kids, teaching them how to be functioning adults in this society. And that part alone is worth its weight in gold.
And you think about the symmetry and how it goes with the Golden Knights. To have George McPhee, and to have Alex Tuck, who now plays for George McPhee, and then to have Graham McPhee on top of it.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm sure that his team right now is probably looking around going, oh, look at all these reports about the snowstorm in Boston and on the East Coast and that right now. Yeah. Being out here in Vegas, not too bad. This is a pretty nice gig.
There are worse things in the world, Frank.
Yeah, and when he passed up to be the winningest coach at Boston College, Ryan, he passed John Snooks Kelly. Like, if that isn't like a Boston name from the past, John Snooks Kelly.
I just like the nickname.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Snooks.
So good.
So good. Well, lots more to get to here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a game day. When we come back, we're going to have those tickets to give away. We're going to hear from David Perron, take a quick look around the league. This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Ryan, the hockey guy, Wallace, and a cloud of despair has settled over the studio as Sweden has just gone up 1-0 on Team USA at the World Junior Semifinals. About 5 minutes and 16 seconds left in the second period, and Team USA just missing on a glorious chance, Frank.
I'm sorry, but I don't have a cloud of despair here. I see one team with a Golden Knight player on it and the other team without one.
Whoa, are you abandoning your country, Frank?
I'm not abandoning my country, but I'm saying it's not a cloud of despair. I don't have a dog in this fight.
But you just said you do.
You have
two dogs in this fight.
You named your dog.
Your country and Eric Brandstrom.
So it's even. So either way, I get to enjoy a good hockey game. That's all I care about.
Oh man, Kiefer Bellows came down on a 2-on-1. He didn't have a direct pass, and instead of shooting for the far pad, he shot right into the middle of the goalie, and it resulted in nothing.
Yeah. So yeah, needed to go.
Oh.
Oh, he needed to go five hole. He went 4.5, which is right off the pad. Tough break. Team USA, though, still time. Still time.
No, there's lots of time.
4 minutes left in the second period. Lots and lots of time. And a lot of time before, not a lot of time before tonight's game, Frank. We're going to be on at 4:30
Yes.
for the pregame show down at Born and Raised on Warm Springs. So if you're around the area, want to come out, enjoy some good food, have some drinks, watch the game with us. We will be there 4:30 for the pregame, 5 o'clock for puck drop, intermission report, and the postgame as well. And Frank, you figure one of the guys that's going to factor really big in today's game will be David Perron. It seems when he gets going, the offense gets going as well. And we had the opportunity to catch up with him after practice and talk to him about all the things that are clicking to make this streak happen.
We win in different ways. Even sometimes when we don't play our best game, we find a way to get 2 points every night. We're not satisfied with the shootout loss, things like that. So it's kind of, it's been a lot of fun to be a part of it. And I think the other thing, Flower not being around as much at the start of the year, now he wants a part of the success, and he's really done an unbelievable job to keep us in games, and pretty much he's won us a couple games for sure.
You've been a part of successful teams in the past. What is this team doing that's similar to those teams?
We just think about every single day. We turn the page and try and keep getting better and do what's best to be ready for the next game. And we don't think too far ahead of us. We know how much work we still have to go. And that's probably been the best part. We play our game no matter who the opponent is, and we play the same way. And we know that if all four lines are put in the work and working hard, we're going to have success.
How vital is that, the four lines rolling to what you do in this type of game that you play?
Well, I think with the schedule the way it is, we play so many games that it's important to keep guys fresh. And if we do need the time where you're going to have more guys play more minutes, whether you're down goals, whatever it is, or protect the lead later in the year, then at least guys will be a little bit more fresh. And I don't think any hockey player will say no to ice time, but the way it's been going on right now, the success we've had, I think our coach is doing an excellent job to keep everyone involved and making sure that we have an impact every night.
You talk to Gallant, he says that nothing changes, it's just day to day.
Yeah.
But when you're winning like this, does it ever change expectations within the room?
I think the expectation changes for sure as far as early in the year. If, let's say we would be in a game and you lose in shootout like we did, last shootout we were really disappointed, and I could kind of sense that in the room. But other than that, we can't get too far ahead of ourselves. We're enjoying our success, but today and tomorrow we can keep getting better. And I like that we have control of games. I feel like early in the year we were winning games but not controlling games as much, and I feel like we get a good grip on games at times right now, and we have success that way.
Kind of challenges this road trip presented
you? For me, St. Louis and Chicago are two of the best teams in the league, and I know where Chicago is in the standings right now, but I don't even look at that. They're so dangerous every night. And then as far as St. Louis, I think they were struggling for a little bit. They're starting to find their game again, and for me, I've never had an easy game playing against that team or even with them. I know how hard they play, and it's going to be an exciting game.
What's it like for you at these practices when there's so many fans just coming to watch you practice?
Yeah, it's a little bit different for sure. Even when I was injured, the teams on the road, there's like 50 to 100 people watching. I'm the only guy on the ice, and I'm kind of, what's going on right now? Like, it kind of makes me uncomfortable for a little bit. And but the fans have been the best part of the season so far. The atmosphere that we have at the rink during games, and even at practice, like you said, anywhere in town right now, you walk around town, there's not a time you go out in public where people don't recognize you or ask you for a picture, and it's been nothing but an absolute pleasure right now.
It was David Perron talking about the test that's coming up, St. Louis and Chicago. St. Louis, a pretty good season. Chicago lying in the weeds, but both tough games.
My favorite part of that is when I asked him about the expectation in the room, and he said that he thinks the expectation changes a little bit, and then gives an example that doesn't necessarily paint that picture to me. And he says, you know, if we lose in a shootout early in the year, it's not that big of a deal, but we lose in a shootout the other day, it upsets us. And I get that, but I don't think any hockey player likes to lose. So I feel like it was an answer, but it wasn't all of the answer. Because you know the expectations in that room are different. Mm-hmm. They have to be now.
They certainly are. And one of the things that he talked about, Frank, was the four lines rolling, something that they do that not everyone else can keep pace with. There will be a lineup change tonight. Pierre-Édouard Bellemare did not make the trip. His wife, expecting their first child, Will Carrier, activated off of IR. We would suspect that we will see him slot in tonight, and that fourth line would be Lindberg with Nosek and Carrier.
Yeah, and I don't expect the team to miss a beat with Carrier in there, because this team truly has the next man up mentality. I know every team says that, but with the Vegas Golden Knights so far, that has proven to be the case there. And I would think Carrier is going to go, okay, I'm back in the lineup. This is my opportunity to once again show why I should stay in the lineup. And he's going to do everything in his power to stay there and make it hard for somebody else to come in and get a slot out there. So that's what we've seen over and over and over again. This team believes in each other. And when they're asked to do something, the guys step up and they do it.
Yeah, you know, I think it's good that Carrier is getting some game time, but you look at that entire fourth line and you say to yourself, when are they going to work in Ryan Carpenter? When are they going to figure out, like, when Bellemare gets back, he's going back in. I mean, that's a given. You need right. him on the mm-hmm. ice. So Carrier's got the spot for now, but all of this extra competition is what is really propelling this fourth line, quote unquote, to play really, really good hockey. And as long as you've got that competition going on in the locker room, I don't think you're going to have any guys taking shifts off.
No, not at all. But it'll be nice to see Will back. He's been such a spark plug in the games that he played, and really outperformed, I think, what the expectations were for him coming in to this season.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's one of my favorite guys to watch on the ice, just because he gets out there on the ice and it is 0 to 100. The entire time until he steps off the ice.
And it was interesting, too, at practice a couple days ago when a puck kind of came up high on him and he went down for a second and everybody kind of held their breath like, oh, no, he's just coming off the injured list. But he was okay and he was smiling afterwards and that. But, you know, not the easiest way to make a living all the time. It might be a lot of fun and these guys love what they do out there. But even in practice, you have to have your head on a swivel at all times because things can happen. There's pucks flying all over that rink.
I guess if you're going to get hurt, it's better to already be on IR than be off IR and then get hurt and put back on.
The guy that felt the worst about it was Flower, because Flower just flicked one at the goal for fun and hit the crossbar right off the crossbar and straight to Will Carrier's
face. That gives you an idea of how hard Flower can shoot the puck, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Yeah, and that's with a goalie stick.
Yeah. Hey, right. how do you guys feel about the Florida Panthers and all that they have done for the Golden Knights?
It's really hard to label a franchise as the dumbest franchise in the NHL when the Ottawa Senators exist, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the Florida Panthers are the most poorly run, stupidest franchise in the NHL.
Well, they've done something else for the Vegas Golden Knights.
I think I know where you're going with this.
They had Brandon Peary come in professional tryout over the summer. They decided to release him, and he signed with the Vegas Golden Knights, and he has now been named to the AHL All-Star Team, 12 goals, 15 assists, 27 points in the 29 games, a +5 for your Golden Knights AHL All-Star.
So basically, the Florida Panthers are becoming like a feeder farm system for the Vegas Golden Knights. Good job, guys. Keep it up.
Or as they say, whatever Florida touches turns golden.
What's great, though, is it's like the opposite of what Carolina's tried to do. Because Carolina's tried to poach everything that they could from the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yes.
In an effort to make them better, and it hasn't worked out. Well, the Golden Knights have just taken everything that's ever been good in Florida, but they're smarter than Carolina. They're smarter than Florida. And I hearken back to how desperate Florida was to get rid of Riley Smith's contract, that a draft pick is all we gave up to land Smith and Marchessault, two-thirds of the hottest line in the NHL this season. It's a true statement.
And it's not just what we took, it's what we didn't take, allowing Jaromir Jagr to pass on by. And go up.
And you know, it's interesting too, because sometimes there really is something to karma.
Mm-hmm.
And the karma in the parking lot is the bus drove away and Gerard Gallant was there. It's coming back to bite him, and I couldn't be happier. If there's any franchise that deserves it, go Florida. Keep on doing what you're doing.
How do you guys feel about cheating?
I genuinely don't like it.
You don't like it? You like it when people cheat, and then the league says you're a cheater, and then fines you.
Oh, God, I know where you're going with this one. So yeah.
You like that? Well, Frederick Anderson tried to cheat against the Vegas Golden Knights, and he was assessed a $2,000 fine for diving.
You know what's embellishment. Like the worst part about this play is one, he barely gets clipped. Two, he falls in the opposite direction of where the momentum of the hit would actually send him. And three, it's the second time he's been fined for diving this year. And four, and this is actually my favorite part, he put so much into the dive that I was afraid he might actually have hurt himself.
Mm-hmm. I'm just amazed that a guy who spent as many years in Anaheim and around Hollywood that he did, that he's not a better actor.
No. That he spent time with Ryan Kessler, diver, mm-hmm. Corey Perry, the ultimate diver. I mean, these guys have gotten lessons from Greg Louganis.
Yeah,
on how to dive. I don't know how this is.
The ultimate NHL diver ever was Wayne Gretzky. That man dove constantly.
Okay, that's valid, but you have to remember this guy, like Wayne Gretzky weighed like 127 pounds. If somebody breathed on him, he went down. Yes, he tried to draw calls, but I think all of it had to do with the fact that he was frail, weak, and just genuinely not an athletic person.
And he also liked to, I swear, I am not making this up, at a Blackhawk game years ago, Gretzky on a breakaway, a Blackhawk defenseman dove at him and was 3 feet behind. Gretzky missed the net, went down, and got himself a penalty shot because of it. The guy wasn't close to him. Gretzky, whenever he missed on a breakaway, dove. He was Greg Louganis when people knew who Greg Louganis was.
It reminds me of, I think it was, you just stole my reference. It reminds me of, I think it was the guy in the Philippines where he was crossing in the middle of traffic and the car stopped about 4 or 5 feet short of him. And then he ran to the car and jumped on the hood and fell down and act like he had gotten hit.
Nice.
And tried to sue the taxi cab.
Have you guys seen the video? I want to say it's like a soccer coach or something. And he gets like pecked by a bird and it's as if he gets shot, you know? And then like there's like this video on the web that's like juxtaposed with a hockey coach that gets a puck to the face and he's bleeding and he just wants to go on to the next whistle.
Mm.
Yeah. Because soccer players.
You know, I did see the video of the security guard, I think, at the soccer game where the ball was going into the empty goal and he ran onto the field from his post and kicked it away. And then the team that didn't get the goal chased him and he ran into the bowels of the stadium.
Where did this happen?
Argentina, I believe. I think it was Argentina. It was on really
did you check super, on the health of that guy?
It's like super grainy photographer. But the guy, he runs off. He's like in his full like security guard outfit.
Why?
And the ball's going to go in and he runs, makes a save, clears the ball.
Clearly had money
then,
on the game.
Right, and then, yeah, everyone chased him and he ran down the tunnel.
Maybe they need a new ESPY or something like that for biggest divers or something like that in sports, because there's so many sports. Soccer divers, NBA divers, NHL. There's diving all over the place.
I feel like we've talked so much about how bad the Florida Panthers are that I feel really bad that they're not going to get any type of NHL award this year. So what if we just created the worst GM of the year and just called it the Florida Panthers Award?
Yeah, that could be.
That'd be good.
That'd be great. You know what, though? I like their new jerseys. I like the rebranding that
they had last
year.
The only thing
they've
done well.
Yeah, it really is very European. It's nice, clean.
They didn't even keep Jager.
And they are the team of the Caribbean. They're expanding.
Would that trophy be that they just get a big gold rat or something?
No, it'd just be Dale Talon.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, you know what? I would like to end, though. There's some happy news because we've had a little fun today with the Maple Leafs and with the Florida Panthers. But we can have a little fun on the bright side with Denmark, who was winless at the World Juniors. Mm-hmm. But they did have a Vegas Golden Knight third-round pick, Jonas Rønneberg. He had 1 goal, 4 assists, 5 points in their 5 games. So good on you, Jonas.
That's great. Any young potential Golden Knight, hope to see him at T-Mobile someday down the road, and I'm rooting for all of them.
Yep, I'm rooting for all of them, and I'm rooting for all of you out there listening that want to go see the New York Rangers and the Vegas Golden Knights this Sunday at 6:30. We are going to give away a pair of tickets, 702-876-1340. That's 702-876-1340. Lucky caller number 13 going to get those tickets for the Ranger game. Remember, that is a 6:30 start this Sunday against the Rangers. Call in now and win those tickets. When we come back, we're going to go fashionista with Frank Harnish, because we know there is no snappier dresser in all of the NHL than our own Frank Harnish, and he's going to break down some new threads you're going to see out on NHL ice very soon. This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Knights hockey in the Valley. Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Wallace, come on down. 4:30 pregame show today. Born and raised Warm Springs today. And then
Warm Springs and Cimarron.
Yeah, right down there. Frank and I will be there for the pregame and then intermission postgame show as well. 5 o'clock puck drop, St. Louis Blues tonight, and then off to Chicago tomorrow. But Frank, you were scouring the internet today, and very high off of your Chicago Blackhawks win as the greatest jersey of all time. And now you were forced to look at some new incarnations of jerseys that will be debuted at the All-Star Game. And your thoughts were not of the impressed kind.
Well, first off, when I saw this, I thought there was a new, like, USFL football league or something starting out, because they don't look like hockey jerseys whatsoever. The All-Star jerseys, to me, are absolutely hideous. I would not want one. I would not wear one. Maybe I would if a Golden Knight made it, and I just to honor them or whatever, but and there should be several Golden Knights on that team, but these look more like football jerseys, and they have nothing to do with the Tampa Bay Lightning. They might have something to do with Tampa, some bridge or something you guys were talking about, but doesn't have anything to do with the Lightning that I see.
Now, as a reminder, for the All-Star Game that used to just have the East and the West jerseys, now there are four. Each division has their own because they play the tournament. And we have seen in the past, like in Los Angeles, where they paid homage to the evolution of the Kings jerseys. They had the yellow one, they had the purple one, they had the white one and the black one.
Made sense.
And that made sense. You would think that perhaps they would do that, even though Tampa has basically had the same sort of color scheme their whole time. But they also had nothing to do with Tampa. Like I said, they could have done one that had Buccaneer colors and one that had Rays colors and one that had the University of South Florida colors and one that had Lightning colors and sold them for fans of all of those folks in the area to buy, but they chose to go off the grid and have a color scheme that has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, they're just bad. Fortunately, the Pacific Division is probably the best of the worst, really. Like, the white one with the orange, it kind of harkens back to the old Campbell Conference days where, you know, it wasn't just East and the West, and the orange and the inclusion of that is fine, and that brings me a little bit of nostalgia. But the neon green and the blue and the gray
yeah,
it's just. But they have to have a situation set up where white can play gray and white can play blue and white can play black. Like, they all have to work in a game setting against each other, because you don't know who's going to the quote third game. Third period.
Do you remember when they had that pro roller hockey league for a while, and all the games were in Venice Beach, and it had the ramp behind the net?
Yes.
That looks like jerseys they would wear there.
They actually played some of those games at the MGM Grand out here in Vegas, too.
Me, this looks like an amateur paintball tournament.
Yes.
To me, it looks like really bad new jerseys for the Cincinnati Bengals for two of them, and the other two that make no sense whatsoever.
It's like the Seattle Seahawks flew down to Tampa, and now they're a part of that city.
Yeah, it's just a traffic jam of clashing colors. It's just
horrible. It's horrible.
But if you want to see some really sharp uniforms, check out the Golden Knights tonight. They will be in their beautiful whites with Red Rock red trim, gold and black. Look forward to that.
There will be no victory green tonight.
No victory green tonight. Come on out. Join us. 4:30 for the pregame. Born and raised Warm Springs. Stick around. TC Martin, the doctor, is next.